If you have Daniel chapter 1, I'm going to ask you to stand, and we're just going to read, let's see here. I'm going to read beginning verse 1 to verse 8. We'll probably look at the whole chapter. Well, we will look at the whole chapter today, but we're going to begin there, and then we'll have a word of prayer. So you follow along in your Bible, Daniel chapter 1, as I begin reading. In the third year of the reign of Jehoiakim, king of Judah, came to Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, unto Jerusalem, and besieged it. And the Lord gave Jehoiakim, king of Judah, into his hand with part of the vessels of the house of God, which he carried into the land of Shinar to the house of his God, and he brought the vessels into the treasure house of his God. And the king spake unto Ashpenaz, the master of the eunuchs, that he should bring certain of the children of Israel and of the king's seed and of the princes, children in whom was no blemish, but well favored, and skillful in all wisdom, and cunning in knowledge, and understanding science, and such as had ability in them to stand in the king's palace, and whom they might teach the learning and the tongue of the Chaldeans. And the king appointed them a daily provision of the king's meat, and of the wine which he drank, so nourishing them 3 years, that at the end thereof they might stand before the king. Now among these were of the children of Judah, Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azra, unto whom the prince of the eunuchs gave names, for he gave unto Daniel the name Belteshazzar, and to Hananiah Shadrach, and unto Mishael of Meshach, and to Azariah Abednego. But Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with the portion of the king's meat, nor with the wine which he drank. Therefore, he requested of the prince of the eunuchs that he might not defile himself. Let's pray. Father, again, we do thank you so much for the word of God. We know today that you have a purpose and a plan for each one that's here. And Father, we just thank you that at this appointed hour that you might help each one of us to understand. Help me to get out of the way and help those that are here, not only to hear with their ears, but understand with their heart and their mind what your plan is for them. And Father, I just pray that you'd have your way and your will in every person's life in this service today. Speak to our hearts and challenge us. We thank you for what you'll do. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you. You may be seated. So here, the book of Daniel, I wrestled with God about this today. I mentioned to Matt, I think it was last week, that I might be preaching, or Wednesday, that I might be preaching out of the book of Daniel. But Thursday and Friday and Saturday, even up till this morning, I was fighting this. I had a couple other sermons I was looking at and working on, and this one is going to be a series, or end up being a series, because I'm going to be teaching out of the book of Daniel on Sunday nights. But I just couldn't put this one down, and I don't know why, but I said, okay, Lord, and I'll share this today instead of maybe Sunday night next week. So as we look at this, just be reminded that God has a purpose in each one of our lives, and it's going to be illustrated today in this book. And we're going to go through the whole first chapter and see how God can use us, because that's what's going on here. There's a man that wants to be used of God. Now, he's not in the place he wants to be, but nonetheless, he's going to serve God. So the book of Daniel, it tells us about the Babylonian captivity. Now, this has been predicted. It's been prophesied. Isaiah prophesied this. In fact, the first 39 chapters of Isaiah, that's what he was telling Judah and Jerusalem, or I guess the other tribe, Benjamin, that this was going to happen because they were turning from God. Of course, Ezekiel speaks of this as well, and so does Jeremiah. And they're talking about this. And Jehoiakim, a king of Judah, he was the son of Josiah. Now, as we remember Josiah, he was one of the last godly kings of the southern tribe, which was the two tribes of Israel, and that was Judah and Benjamin. But yet he followed his brother Jehoahaz, who reigned for 3 months, and he did not do that which was pleasing in the sight of God. And because of that, God had already told Israel that this was going to happen. They already had the predictions. In fact, in the book of Jeremiah, you can read about it. Jehoiakim is there, and he actually, they come to him with the word of God, and he cuts it up and throws it in the fire. He doesn't want to hear it. And so this is the man that doesn't care about anything. And so what happens is that after 3 years, he is taken captive, or Israel is taken captive. And what happens is, as they went through Jerusalem and took them captive, they took some of the vessels. Now, this is only the first time they do this. There's two more times that they're going to do this later on, just as a way of history. So just keep that in your back of mind. In other words, they didn't take everything yet, but they will eventually. And so as we look at this, I want us to understand that as God leads us and guides us, we want to be right where He wants us to be. And I've said this 100 times, and I believe with all my heart, if you are in the will of God and He directs you somewhere, that's the only way you can be in the will of God. Does that make sense? In other words, if God told me to go somewhere else and I didn't, I wouldn't be in the will of God. The will of God is listening to God and being where He puts you. And it's always the best place. It's always the best place. So as we look at this, Daniel is in a situation. This morning, the message I want to bring to you, I have entitled, Purpose to be God's Servant. Purpose to be God's Servant. You know, that's what it takes. It takes a purpose in your heart and mind what you're going to do. So we see in the first 8 verses, we see a man of purpose this morning. This captivity took place approximately 605 B.C. Of course, Nebuchadnezzar came in. He took the children of Israel. It was because Jehoiakim was not willing to listen to him and to follow him. He was pressured to do that, and he didn't do it. And so Nebuchadnezzar came in and just took them all. And so he took many of the Hebrew children, and a lot of those he took, they were young men that were wise and had learned some things, and he was going to test them for 3 years and check them out. We see that where it says, verse 3, it says, and the king spake unto Ashpenaz, the master of his eunuchs, that he should bring certain of the children of Israel and of the king's seed and of the princes, children in whom was no blemish, but well favored, skillful in all wisdom, cunning in knowledge and understanding science, and such as had the ability in them to stand in the king's palace, and whom they might teach the learning and tongue of the Chaldeans. And the king appointed them daily provision of the king's meat of wine, and he drank, so nourishing them 3 years, that at the end thereof they might stand before the king. So here's what's going on, is that as these young people have been taken captive, he is looking at these young people who are people, princes, and those that were maybe nobility, those who had wisdom and understanding and all these things. He talks about science and other things. And he's taking those, and he's going to take and use let those people for 3 years be trained and understand the language of the Chaldeans. And so he's going to feed them from his table. There's nothing wrong with that. This is the very food, as a king, that he has given to these people. Now, nobody else got this. It wasn't like the common person got to eat off the king's table. But that's what these young people were doing. These young people had the opportunity to eat off the king's table. And I want you to know, at the time, that was probably the best of the best. I'm sure King Nebuchadnezzar had good stuff for King Nebuchadnezzar. Now, remember, King Nebuchadnezzar was a Gentile. These captives were Jews, okay? And so these captives that were Jews, God had given them some specific dietary laws that they were to follow. There were certain things they weren't allowed to have or shouldn't have. And, of course, one of those things we know of, and I don't know all that the king had on his table, but I expect he probably had some pork and ham and stuff like that. You know, but that was not legal or right under God's law for the Jews to eat or partake of. So Daniel, being in a predicament that he was in, he was in a circumstance he had no control over. What would you do? What would I do in that situation? Would I just say, well, God knows I'm in this predicament, so I'm just going to do what the king asked? Daniel didn't do that. Why? Because Daniel was a man with purpose. This morning, I want you to understand, as a Christian, you and I have a purpose. And we need to take the challenge of God's Word and apply it in our lives, because there's a purpose for it. And that's exactly what Daniel is trying to do here. Now, Daniel didn't get all haughty and proud about this. He didn't kick around and say, man, I ain't doing nothing the king says or any of that. He came humbly. And he petitioned, okay, the guy that was over him, Aspenaz. And the Bible says he found favor in Aspenaz's eyes. How did that happen? I want to tell you how it happened. A man of purpose serving God, God will stack up everything in his favor. He does that. I can't tell you how many times I've seen that. And I've shared this with our congregation many times, that when I went through all the things I went through with my situation and with the dialysis and all that, God put the right people in place to take care of me all the way through that. And it's just amazing how God led me through that whole thing. I mean, I got up to the point where my doctor said, nephrologist, Bruce, he said to me, now, I never thought this way. I always thought that God would do something. He said, you're on the cliff. He said, I can't do anything for you. The dialysis is not helping. I'm on 13 hours on a machine. The dialysis is not helping. He says, and your liver's not getting better. He says, we need to do something. You need to tell them right now that you got a problem. He says, you're your best advocate. I said, really? He says, I got to call them. He says, I've been telling them. They're not listening. So I called them. And the very next week, God provided. He brought me to the point where I need to trust Him for everything. And then He met the need at the time that was appointed to Him. That's what God wants to do in our lives. No matter what circumstance you are. You know, sometimes I say, wow, that was a blessing that I was able to get a transplant. But you know what? It would have been a blessing to meet the Lord. I remember someone saying to his wife about health food. He says, honey, all that, when they got up to heaven, both of them were up in heaven, they saw how everything was, and it was a wonderful place. And he's talking to his wife. Now, this is just not real, but anyway, he's talking to his wife, says, honey, just think, if you wouldn't made me eat all that good food, that health food, we'd have been up here 10 years earlier. Yeah, I mean, think about it. Isn't that what we want? I know it's hard on those left behind, but that's what we're living for. We're living for God, and we're looking to Him and trusting Him. So here's Daniel. He had a desire. He was going to keep the commandments of the Lord. He purposed in his heart. We read Psalm 119 this morning, and Psalm 119, David, or the psalmist says, with my whole heart have I sought thee. And that's what he was doing. He's going to trust God before he's going to submit to an ungodly king. Now, if the king would have forced the issue, I'm sure Daniel would have done what he had to do. Why? Because sometimes God allows those trials into our lives. And we have to trust Him for it. He always gives an answer to your prayer, folks. Yes, no, or wait. Problem is, how do we discern that? And he helps us do that. But that's what Daniel was doing. He's a man with a purpose. He had an idea. He was determined. He made a commitment. He was going to do what was right. This morning, I want to encourage you that make the right commitments. Don't let anything mislead you, misguide you. Don't let your thinking, your thought process, what you feel is best, be the deciding factor. Stay with the Word of God. Do what He says for us to do. In Psalm 37, in verse 5, it says, commit thy way unto the Lord, trust also in Him. Now listen to what it says. And He, not me, not you, shall bring it to pass. Trust God. He's going to bring it to pass. Too often I trust myself and think, I've got to bring it to pass. But you know what? I don't have to. Because I got a God that loves me, and He's going to guide and direct me if I follow Him, and He'll bring it to pass. If you're saying, well, I can't do this because of this situation or that situation, I want to tell you something. If you'll trust God by faith, then you can look on the other side and you'll have a testimony of what God did for you. I remember Tozier, I can't remember his first name now. He was an evangelist. Somebody said something? No, good one. What's that guy's name? I think it's Tozier. It might not be Tozier. Huh? Rich, thank you. It is Tozier. Anyway, he gave a testimony, was ambassador. And I thought about this, and this is something that made a difference in my life for a period there, was he came and he said, I'm an evangelist. He says, I don't have a truck and trailer. Every evangelist has a truck and trailer. If you don't have a truck and trailer, you can't go nowhere, right, with your family. He says, he's just married, no children. He says, I don't have a truck and trailer. He said, the Lord hasn't provided that yet. He says, I am going to trust God for this. I'm not going into debt to buy this truck and trailer. And so he was living out of suitcases and hotels and people's houses, wherever, when he went to the meetings. And then he's sharing this testimony. He says, and there was another evangelist, some of you know him, Tom Farrell. And Tom Farrell at that time was going to sell his trailer and his truck. He'd been in the ministry a long time. And so he talked to Rich and said, hey, I got my truck and trailer. I'm thinking about selling it. And Rich says, well, okay. And I don't know exactly how he said all those things, but he and his wife had been praying. They'd been looking at trailers, and they looked at specific ones. And so they met with Tom Farrell. And when they met with him, that trailer was the exact one that he wanted, except the desk was on the opposite side, I think he said. Everything else was just like he wanted. And so he was praying about this. And I think it was his church, if I remember right, and some donations, that he had enough money to pay cash for that. Why did that happen? He put God first. He says, I'm going to follow God before I'm going to go and get myself in trouble. And God met the need in a miraculous way. Why? Because he had a purpose in his heart to do that which was right. He had a purpose to follow God. You know, the world's going to throw a lot of things at us. That's what's happened to Daniel here. Daniel was a man who loved God, and yet he's taken captive. You know, that's sort of like Paul being thrown in prison. God, why am I here? This isn't fair, God. Why should I, who is Paul, who are going out and I'm telling everybody about Jesus? I'm going from town to town. I'm trying to help start churches. And why am I in prison? He didn't say that, did he? He sang praises. And he sang to God. And God opened the gates and the doors. Why? He had a purpose. The purpose was to do what God wanted to do no matter where he was at. And you know what happened through that? God, that was ordained of God. That was already a step that Paul was supposed to take. Why? Because the Philippian jailer got saved that night. We do right, and God provides the opportunities. And that's what Daniel is trying to teach us through the Word of God here, is that just purpose in your heart that I'm going to do right. I'm going to serve God. And that's exactly what he did. In Colossians 3:23, it says, and whatsoever you do, do it heartily as unto the Lord and not unto men. You know, we can say we're serving God. And I've been there, done this. Done things, you know, like Saturday morning getting up and coming to a work day. Now, I'm not talking about you. I'm talking about me. And think, man, why have I got to do this today? It's my only day off. You know, why do I need to be involved in this stuff? And this is not fair. I mean, I got a family. I got all these things to take care of. I got to do this and do that. And then go to church and work. But you know what I did? I didn't do it unto the Lord. I did it out of duty. And it was really spiteful because it wasn't with my whole heart. And it's easy to do things just to be doing things without doing it because you love the Lord. And that's what we want to be concerned with in our lives, is that the things that God leads us to do, we do because we love Him. We want to spend time with Him. We want to walk by faith. You know that there's going to be a test and everybody's going to be tested. We need to be careful, though, that we stay in God's will during that test. And also know that Satan will always try to disturb what God has set in place or try to hinder you from serving Him. In 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 14 and 15, he says, and no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. Therefore, it is no great thing if his ministers also be transformed as the ministers of righteousness, whose end shall be according to their works. In other words, I believe the principle is, be careful, because Satan, who is someone who looks like the Lord, who does those things that look like they're righteous, will present himself before God sometimes, and me and you will snatch that and say it's from God, when the fact is it isn't. What's the principle? The principle is, don't do anything if it's not the will of God. How do you know it's the will of God? You can do the basic things in the Bible and understand what it says about being faithful and how you're to live. If you're not able to do that, then that is not the will of God. Does that make sense? Say amen. Okay, we got three people got that. Good. My goal is everybody gets it. So here, he chose to put God first. Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 4 through 6 says, hear, O Israel. Again, Daniel is an Israelite or a Jew. He says, the Lord our God is one Lord. And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with some of your heart, with some of your soul, and with any might that you have. You sure? Did you read it? You know it, don't you? What does that mean to you? How's that prove you? Do you do the all? Or are you doing what you think suits you? Daniel said, it's all. All or nothing. That's what God is asking from us. And it's not a big deal as you think it is. Because the sacrifices that we make are really not sacrifices at all. When you're serving God, you'll come out on the other side seeing the blessings of God and how He's transformed you and put you in the right place and made much of little. Because I can't do anything on my own strength, but God can. So David petitioned him. And you know, God met the need. He took care of him. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13. There hath no temptation taken you but such as common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that which you are able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape that you may be able to bear it. When something comes into your life that looks good, check it with God and make sure it's something God would approve of. That's the thing. Because God will give you a way out. God will provide. I made a mistake and made lots of them in my life. I took a job one time that I probably shouldn't have took. At the time, we didn't have anything. I was running out of money. I was going to Bible college, and I took a job. But you know what? I realize now, and I learned from that, God probably had something better on the other side if I just would have waited a little bit. But I didn't. I jumped at the first thing that came out. Now, I've been looking for a job for a while. I was into my Bible college. It was in the summer. I had one class to do, and I was about done with that, and the bank account looked pretty bad. So I said, I got to go get a job. And so I did, and the first thing came up, I took it. And looking back, that was a mistake because God had something better. I'm sure He did. And He also got me out of that situation in a good way. You probably heard the story already. Well, anyway, let's go on. So putting God first. Look at verse 9. Again, it says, Now God had brought Daniel into favor and tender love with the prince of the eunuchs. So here we see the blessings. They are starting to begin. It's because God is making the way. He is leading. It says, verse 10, and the prince of the eunuchs said unto Daniel, I fear my lord the king, who hath appointed your meat and your drink, for why should he see your faces worse liking than the children which are of your sort? Then shall he make me endanger my head to the king. So Aspenaz is telling Daniel, he says, Daniel, I understand what you're saying, but you know what? It's my life. If you do this, and it turns out that you look worse than the others, I'm a goner. My life's in your hands. That's not true. His life was in God's hands, but he didn't understand that. And so Daniel then petitions the guy that Aspenaz put over him, Melzar, and he went to him. Look at the verse 11. Then said Daniel to Melzar, whom the prince of the eunuchs had set over Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azra, prove thy servants, I beseech thee, 10 days, and let them give us pulse to eat and water to drink. Then let our countenances be looked upon before thee, and the countenance of the children that eat of the portion of the king's meat, and thou, as thou seest, deal with thy servants. So here we see that what's taking place here is that God is going to use another fellow, this guy Melzer. Now, Daniel's not saying, for 3 years, Melzer, let us eat pulp and then check us out after 3 years. Daniel is trying to make sure that he gives God the opportunity to prove himself in his life. And he said, let's just do it for 10 days. And let's see what happens. And so for 10 days, he's eating fruit and vegetables. That's probably a good diet, by the way. It's good for you anyway. It's what they eat in the garden. That's all he ate. And water he drank. He didn't eat the meats of the king's table. Now, I'm all for eating meat, by the way. But for him, he didn't want to be in the situation where he ate the meat that he wasn't supposed to eat, okay? So he made a decision and purposed in his heart that he wouldn't, and he made a petition, and Melzer said, okay, let's just try it. Let's see what happens. How did that happen? God intervened. God allowed it to happen. And God can do that in our lives. If we're in a bad situation with somebody, I want you to know that if you'll get on your knees and start praying and petitioning God, make sure you're right with God, examine yourself first, and then pray to God that He'll help you with the person you're dealing with. God can do something that you thought could never happen. It is God who softens the hearts. It's God who changes the minds. Let's let Him do it. Let's let Him do it. He wants to be there for you, but you have to allow Him. Most of us take God's hands and we tie them like this. Say, how do I do that? By being out of fellowship. When you tie God's hands, He's not going to help you. What's God going to do when you're out of fellowship? He's going to chasten you. Hebrews chapter 12, read it. And that's what He's going to do, that for one reason, for your purpose, that you will continue to grow in Christ. And He has a plan, and it's a better plan. And He wants you to turn back to that. So you're going to miss out on the blessings of God because He's busy whooping you instead of blessing you. Who wants that? Say amen. Say, oh me, I don't want that. So Daniel purposed in his heart, God brings all the blessings. He's the one who does this. And he says, prove us, is what he's telling him. Psalm 4:5 says, offer the sacrifices of righteousness and put your trust in the Lord. That's what we want to do. Sacrifices of righteousness. That means being right with God. Offer those up and then prove the Lord. Trust Him. So Daniel and his friends took a leap of faith. They trusted that God would do this very thing. He understood that God was in control. He was relying on the Lord. Proverbs 3, 5, and 7 says, trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Lean not unto thy own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge Him. Again, you see that word all. And He shall direct thy paths. Be not wise in thine own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. That's my problem. Verse 7, being wise in my own eyes. And that's my downfall. Because verse 5 and 6, I don't get to partake in. I miss out on that. Because I'm so smart. Because I'm outthink God. God's ways are not my ways. God really didn't mean that. He didn't mean for me to live that way, to dress this way, to go these places, to do this. He didn't really mean that. That's just what pastor says. Or somebody else says. No, God's called you to be holy. Godly. And there are some things that you and I have to learn about that. Because it's important. You represent Jesus Christ. Would Jesus dress the way we dress? Would He talk the way we talk? Would He go the places we go to? Would He live like we live? Those are the questions we ask ourselves. Because He will reveal those things to us so we can purpose to live a godly life. I'm learning more and more, the closer you get to God, the less things of the world you need. How about you, but you go to my garage, it's full of junk. I'm serious. And that junk, if it doesn't help me serve God, it's really not important. And if it takes up all my time, it's definitely not important. And so I'm learning you need less, not more. Because God wants to be your all. And that's what Daniel is teaching us. So here, let's look at the man of power. Verse 14 says, so he consented to them in this matter and proved them 10 days. So he got to go through this. He says, and at the end of 10 days, their countenances appeared fairer and fatter in flesh than all the children which did eat the portion of the king's meat. Wow. He says, thus Melzar took away the portion of their meat and the wine that they should drink and gave them pulse. And for these four children, God gave them knowledge and skill in all learning and wisdom, and Daniel had understanding in all visions and dreams. Now at the end of 10 days that the king had said he should bring them in, then the prince of the eunuchs brought them in before Nebuchadnezzar, so 3 years later, and the king communed with them, and among them all was found none like Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Ezra. Therefore stood they before the king. And in all matters of wisdom and understanding that the king inquired of them, he found them 10 times better than all the magicians and astrologers that were in all his realm. And Daniel continued even under the first year of King Cyrus. So here we see what happens is Daniel purposed in his heart. God provided the opportunity for him to follow through with this. He led the way. He changed the hearts and the minds of the people that were over Daniel, even though his circumstances didn't dictate that, and he should never even expect it unless you know God's in control and believe God. Then you can expect things from God. And as he went through this test, they found him fairer and fatter than all the rest. To me, that is so amazing how God will take a situation that we look at and think there's no way possible. A rock in a hard place. Anybody ever been there? That's when God wants to show himself that he's greater than any situation you're in. But it requires, again, that you purpose in your heart. That you make a decision. There's nothing that's going to mislead me and put me in a place that I'm out of the will of God. And he did it. So they had a reward, and it was God using Melzer, which allowed him to continue to eat those things that pleased God. Again, he was eating the things that pleased God. Some of us need to think about that a little bit too sometimes. And I'm not going to tell you what to eat unless you ask me. And then I don't know 100% sure, but I feel like there's some things that God would bless over things that he doesn't. I don't want to say anything about that, but you trust God in that. I started praying about this, and I have asked God, because I gained 30 pounds after the surgery, and nothing fit me. I had to go buy a new suit. This is not it. This is my old suit. I get in it, but not as good as I want to be yet. But God started revealing to me some things. I purposed in my heart that I wanted to be healthier. Why? Because I can serve the Lord longer. And so God starts revealing things to me. And one of those things is that Doritos, Bruce, are not good for you. Coca-Cola is not good for you. Now, if you eat these and drink these, you talk to God. Deal with that yourself. That's your liberty. But for me, he said, no, it's not good. And so God is leading me because I want to trust him. And this all started because Greg opened his mouth. Thank you, Greg. He just stood up one day and said, I know somebody lost some weight. You want to know how they do it? Now, this is not a quote because I'm not sure how he said it exactly, but he said, they just trusted God. And that's what clicked in my mind. I needed that message. Thank you for preaching it. That I need to start trusting God in every area of my life. Put him in the center and let him direct me. Whatever it is. Whatever choices I want to make. Now, I'm still dealing with it. I'm still trying to learn and grow. And all of us should be. But it requires a purpose. Because once you have the purpose, then you'll see the power. And that's what we want. As Christians, we want to see the power. Walking by faith, not by sight. When you walk by sight, there's no power in your life. You don't have Jesus leading you. But when you walk by faith, that's the power. The lamp that's a light unto your feet. It'll help you. It'll guide you. It'll direct you. It'll put you in the right place. The Bible says the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. How do you know that? Some of us in here probably don't know that. Because you haven't purposed in your heart to serve him. And so you're stepping all over the place. And you're missing the steps of the Lord. I know, been there, done that, and still struggle with it. But I'm trying because I really want to step in the right place. You know, it's like walking across the creek. Anybody ever done that? Everybody has, especially when you're a kid. I don't do it anymore. There's rocks in the creek, right? And you know, a little kid, he just jumps on one, jumps on the other, gets across the creek. And me as an adult try to walk over there, I'll be in the creek probably. But that's kind of like what God wants to do in our lives, isn't it? He puts those rocks there, or the steps, to get us across. Now, if we misstep, of course it's usually a shallow creek, we're going to get wet, okay? And if you don't care about getting wet, that's fine. But, in a sense, God wants us to reach the other side intact, if you will. That's what he wants to do as Christians, to lead us so we can reach the other side intact. What are we supposed to look like? Who are we supposed to be? I'm not going to quote it, and I'm not going to go there, because I think it's my message this afternoon. Romans 8:28 tells us, if you want to be conformed to the image of Christ, You must follow Jesus Christ. You must give Him your whole life. That means your finances, your financial situations, your health, the home you live in, the things you own. There have been people in this church who made a statement years ago, and I appreciate this because it's true. The things I own are not mine. They're God's. And what that'll do for you is, when you get that first scratch on your truck, everybody's had a new car, maybe not, it's like, it's so hard. Been there, done that. And so it's like, oh, I don't like this. Why did this happen? Maybe even get a little upset about it. Hey, if it's God's, He knew the scratch was going to be there anyway. And you know what? The first scratch is good because then you don't worry as much about the second. But it's a growing thing, right? And so that's what we want in our lives is God leading us and directing us everywhere. He gave these guys knowledge, skill in learning, wisdom. Daniel had understanding all visions and dreams. And how did this happen? Why did this happen? Because he loved God more than he loved himself. In the book of Revelation, Revelation 12:11, it reminds us of the martyrs. It says, and they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony, and they loved not their lives unto death. That is the whole idea of serving God. It's not my life. It's yours to be controlled, to be led by. My decisions are your decisions. That's what we do when we grow in Christ and we start learning that we really want to serve. See, Paul is such a great example because that's what he did. He got saved on the road to Damascus. He already had a heart for God. Yeah, he was persecuting Christians, but why? He thought they were blaspheming God. Jesus put a stop to that on the road to Damascus. Hey, Paul, quit doing that. You're kicking against the pricks. What are you doing this for? In other words, you're fighting against me. And that day, Saul or Paul, Lord, what would thou have me to do? It transformed his life. You look at the Pauline epistles. Those are the places he visited. Well, he didn't visit Colossae, but he heard about them. And he went to those people and he started these churches and they were growing in Christ and he kept writing to them to help them, to encourage them. He was trying to teach them. And so because of his desire to serve God, because the power he had in his life when he accepted Christ as a Savior, he became a man of purpose and he purposed to do what God had called him to do, to live as Christ and to die as gain, he said. Does our life represent that? Does he have the authority over lives? That's what we have to ask. It's a determination. It's a heart condition. Jesus said in John 14:15, if you love me, keep my commandments. In 1 John chapter 2, verse 3 and 5, he says, and hereby we know that we know him. Now this is how you know him. This is what John's writing. If we keep his commandments. He that saith, I know him, and keepeth not his commandments, is a liar. That's the Bible. That's what it says. And the truth is not in him. But whoso keepeth his word, in him verily is the love of God perfected. Hereby know we that we are in him. Joshua 22:5. But take diligent heed to do the commandment and the law, which Moses, the servant of the Lord, charged you, to love the Lord your God and to walk in all his ways and to keep his commandments and to cleave unto him and to serve him with all your heart. With all your soul. The king met these guys after 3 years and he looked at them and he saw these guys and he saw what happened and he saw they were heads and tails above the others. We don't even know what the others were doing other than eating off the king's table, right? They were all Jews too. So I would submit to you today that they were out of the will of God because they were being disobedient to God. Because instead of petitioning God, they allowed the circumstances in their life to tell them and dictate to them what they had to do. But Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah did not. They submitted to God. And there's power in that. Power in that. They had understanding. Proverbs 2:6, for the Lord giveth wisdom, out of his mouth cometh knowledge and understanding. Proverbs 9:10, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. The knowledge of the holy is understanding. Why do we struggle with the things of God? Because we don't fear Him like we should. Psalm 11:10, fear the Lord, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom and good understanding. Have all they, there's that word all again, that do His commandments, His praise endureth forever. I keep seeing that word there, all. That means all of us. All they that are serving Him. So it's talking about walking and living a life that's surrendered to God. James tells us that we can ask. If we don't have this, if we are not in a position that we can really purpose in our heart and we're not having the power of God, we can ask for the wisdom to do this. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God that giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not, and it shall be given. He said all men. That includes women. But you got to ask for it. You got a purpose in your heart that you're going to follow God. Petition God, just like Daniel petitioned Ashpenaz. Proverbs 2, 3 and 6 says, yea, if thou criest after knowledge and liftest up thy voice for understanding, if thou seekest her as silver and searchest for her as for hid treasures, then shalt thou understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. For the Lord giveth wisdom, out of his mouth cometh knowledge and understanding. He says, seeketh after silver. How do people seek after silver? You know, our gold. Do you remember the gold rush days? 1849 or whatever that was. You know, the 49ers, miners. Those guys went out there and they dug in the ground seeking gold. I mean, they were living in places that, you know, you and I would say, no way, I'm not going to do that. A pick and a shovel, a tin pan, a donkey. That's the way they picture it all the time. And that's what out there digging and trying to find. Maybe some provisions, but living in weather that's not good. Why? Because they are seeking that gold, just like someone seeking silver. They're not giving up. That's the way we seek God. That's the way we're supposed to seek God. Daniel did this. He knew this. So the question we have today is, what purpose is defining our lives? Are we serious about serving God? Are we making choices that God wouldn't be pleased with? Are we allowing circumstances of life to dictate which direction we ought to do and go? Can we not do things because we have excuses? There are a lot of excuses that people make for doing things. And they justify their excuses. They might even quote a verse about something. Be careful with that. Because if you're not living it, don't be telling others to live it. We're going to quit. Psalm 26:2 says, examine me, O Lord, and prove me. Try my reins and my heart. This morning I want you to ask the question, am I a man or a woman of purpose? Just search your lives. Ask God, prove me, try me. If you're not, today you can change that. God loves you that much. You can make a commitment that you're going to do that which is right no matter what. And then just prove God. I want you to stand back and watch the mighty God in heaven open the windows of blessing and pour it out and show you that He can change the hearts and minds. He can fix things up. He can make your schedule different. He can do all kinds of things. But you have to do the first step and surrender to Him. Let's pray. Father, again, we do thank You for Daniel, we thank You for his life. We thank You for how You guided and directed him. We're going to see more of this as we go through the book of Daniel in the next couple weeks. But Father, You're just such a gracious God. I mean, You love us so much. And yet, often we don't pay any attention to what You really want us to do. This morning, I ask You that You would speak to hearts. There's some in here that may be convicted of their sin. God, help them to have the wisdom and the fear of a holy God and get right with You. Maybe there's somebody here who's never been saved. They don't even understand what we're talking about. God, I pray that You would do a work in their life. Maybe they would come forward and want to speak to me or somebody else and say, how can I know that I have a relationship with the Holy God. Father, just bless our time before we're dismissed. We'll thank you for it in Jesus' name.